Welcome to Flight Plans, the official podcast of the SAE Aero Design Series.
Welcome to a very special edition of the podcast. I'm Mike Sorg, your media and podcast producer with the SAE CDS Series. Today's a very special episode because Scott and I had the opportunity to travel to the University of Michigan and check out the M-Fly team's digs. We got to visit them about a month before a competition in February of 2024. And if you're interested in seeing the video version of this, check the link in the description of this podcast or head over to the SAE University Program's YouTube channel.
M-Fly is a design, build, fly student project team at the University of Michigan. And we are focused on designing, building, flying three competition aircraft for the three competitions we compete in. SAE Advanced Class, SAE Regular Class, and SUAS Autonomous. So that is the autonomous plane all the way back there. That's the regular class plane, and that is the advanced class plane over here. This is primarily the place we work out of. We also have an avionics workshop upstairs in the mezzanine. And we also use a variety of different campus resources here to complete all of our planes and do all of our design work. So.
Are these your old planes from previous years?
Yes, that is the M4, the M8, the MAT-4 from last year, and then so just some bits and pieces, MAT-4 wing tip fences, and just some fuselage parts around. So.
All right. Yeah. And what a Aero or SAE event are you guys going to?
Yes.
East or West?
We are going to East this year.
East, all right.
Competing regular class and advanced
classes.
That's
soon, right?
Yes. So as you can see here, our aircrafts are nearing completion. We actually have our unveiling event this coming Wednesday. So we are hoping to finish our aircraft by Wednesday to unveil them to the university and the world. Yeah. We have our first flight test planned for next Saturday.
All right, nice. For both planes?
For all three planes. So I've been here since my freshman year. I'm a senior now in aerospace engineering. Freshman year, I was just a member on the propulsion team. My sophomore year, I was the propulsion lead for both the regular class and advanced class plane. And then my junior year, I was the chief engineer for the autonomous plane and now I'm the team captain.
All right, so, and so you're in charge of all the teams?
Yes, all three planes. We have this entire space of four tables. We have this sort of modular table where we move in, but we can also fit an extra table in there if we have extra work that goes on the table. And obviously we have all of this shelf space, that space as well. We also have a storage space in the aerospace building, in the basement of the aerospace building, where we store a lot of our tooling boards. We make a lot of our parts with carbon fibers, so that requires our tooling boards to make those complex shapes in the molds. And you can see our tooling boards back there for this year's aircraft. So when we have extra tooling board that we get from some of our sponsors, we usually keep them down there, or just old tooling board that we might use to remake a plane that we've already made before. So,
So you want to tell me about the regular class mission?
Yep. So the regular class mission is around carrying as much payload in one lap around the flight field as possible with a few constraints. We have a 750-watt power limit. We have a maximum 15-foot wingspan limit. And we have a restriction that no one piece of the aircraft can be longer than 4 foot in any primary direction or dimension. Okay. So our plane breaks down here and here into 4 foot sections, and then we have four wing sections. This is just one of them.
Oh, wow.
So. Yeah. So it's a huge plane. We get points for carrying more payload and having a larger wingspan. So try to maximize those as much as possible.
Yeah, and what's the payload again?
It's just steel blocks. They're being milled right now, but just steel boxes.
So are the steel blocks going in?
Yeah, they're going to go right in here in this payload bay right here.
Okay. And you don't have to drop anything like the advanced class?
Correct.
At all?
Yeah, so we just have to go up, fly a lap, and land.
Okay.
We have a tight takeoff limit, 100 feet, and then we have a 400 foot landing distance.
And what's the M-Fly pin about?
Oh, yeah, so this is our RBF tag. So I'm not sure if anyone has any backpacks down here. We have what's very popular at the aerospace clubs in Michigan is these remove before flight tags. You'll see in your aero classes kids with 15 or 16 of them, like, dangling off their bag.
Yeah.
Just every club makes them, even, like, so NASA has some. I know BSA and WA have them, so.
Can I see Top Gun?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd say.
Who's the Tom Cruise of the group?
Of the group? The Tom Cruise of the group. I think it's Eric. I think it's Eric. Are you the Tom Cruise of the group?
I'll take that.
Sorry, I guess you're more the maverick of the group, I guess. Yeah. I feel like you're very much, I'm doing it.
It'll
my way. My way.
So you want to tell me about the mission for the advanced plane?
Yeah, so the advanced class plane is a mostly systems engineering based competition where you have to integrate three different vehicles. We have the main aircraft right here. Its main objective is to carry the static water payload as much as possible. The more water payload you carry, the more points, and deploy a secondary aircraft, which is the PATA. The PATA stands for Powered Autonomous Delivery Aircraft. It deploys from the main plane and has to land towards ground targets. And there's a bunch of constraints and rules on the PATA. For example, it has to fly autonomously. There's a 1 pound weight limit. And the payload that it carries is components for the last vehicle, which is the GTV, the ground transport vehicle. Once it's delivered by the PATA, it goes through an obstacle course delivering the water carried by the main plane to its final destination.
It's an intense mission.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on.
Are you guys ready for it?
I think so.
I know so.
Thank you. I hope so, yeah. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of testing for all our different stuff. Obviously, the main plane isn't built. We're having our first flight test next week, but we've already done PATA tests on prototype PATAs, a bunch of drops, a bunch of flight tests on that, and we're pretty happy. This is the, after all of the iterations, this is our final iteration, obviously not complete, but. Yeah. And then we're still working on testing in the GTV, which this year we're doing a convertible version. So for the PATA, this design, the wings come off. There we go. So then this center part, take out the spar, throw wheels on it, that's your GTV.
Oh, wow. So the PATA turns into the GTV.
Correct.
Okay. They don't make it easy for you guys, do they?
No, they don't. Well, it's technically, that's the way we interpreted it. In previous years, we delivered a whole off-the-shelf RC car that we still have upstairs, but it's huge and bulky. Yeah. And for that 1 pound weight limit, we're trying to stay under it as much as possible. This is the best way we found.
Do you guys fly it down? Do you ship it?
We drive. So we have our own trailer, and then we borrow a truck from the university, and then we make a long drive down.
Okay, yeah. How long is that drive?
Straight, it's probably like 13, 14 hours, but you obviously got to make stops, sleep, stuff like that. It takes us 2 days.
Okay. Do you like the road trips?
Oh, it's some of the best parts, right?
How many hours are you guys in the workshop working on these?
It's a great question. I mean, we lost count, you know. but yeah, we spend a decent amount of time here. During the manufacturing season, it's a lot easier to track. We have manufacturing 5 out of the 7 days a week, except Wednesdays and Sundays. So Wednesdays we have our team meeting, so either a general team meeting with general members or a leads meeting, or sometimes we have a social event just to give people time to de-stress and relax. Yeah. And during our build sessions, there are 3 hour build sessions. So, you know, 3 times 5, 15 hours a week, but sometimes it goes way more than that, obviously, because of the extra meetings. Yeah, so I would say like during the manufacturing season, it's about 15 hours a week, maybe probably a little bit more, probably closer to 20. During the design phase, we have weekly sub-team meetings, which are about 2 hours long, but it's only like once or twice a week. So it's about 4 to 6 hours a week, probably a little bit more still.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So does this cut into your class time? You guys struggle there?
Pretty much. I mean, at least for me last year, you know, you go to classes from 9 to like 5 p.m., something like that. Yeah. And then from 6 p.m. till the end of the evening is mostly MFLY. So, yeah, it cuts into classes, you know, it's just time management and learning, you know, what days of the week can I, you know, spare time to do work? And you don't have the same classes every single day, so you can have more time throughout the day. Go to office hours, you know, get help, do homework, all of that.
Okay, yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from New York City originally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Big Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What brought you to Michigan?
For my high school, they came to my high school at like the college fair. And also the main reason I want to come though is because I want to do aerospace, and Michigan just has a great aerospace engineering program. Nice. So that really got me interested looking into it and finally applying and getting in.
Where do you guys test?
There's an RC flight field in Milan, Michigan. That's about 15-20 minutes south of here. And then we have our university pilot, who I think has a membership there, if that's correct. He has a membership there, so we either take our trailer or rent a U-Haul and take our planes down there, set it up down there, and fly there.
And does your pilot come to the competitions, or you get
pilot so he's there? We have a pilot through SAE that we use, but he comes to. He's a very experienced RC pilot. So he comes to our design reviews and gives us some pointers on certain things and helps us out a little bit there.
Nice. So I guess the pilot's pretty important, but
yeah.
you got to tell them about the plane so it flies it correctly. Right?
Exactly.
So you got to know everything about it.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to explain it.
Yep. So,
does it help that he knows stuff about
it? It does. Yeah. There are a few helpful tips that he's been able to point us in out. Nothing, obviously, too major, but. Whenever we have questions, like we were thinking about putting these magnets for hatches, we were curious if it would interfere with the electronics. So we talked to him, and he's like, no, it'll be fine. Like, as long as you keep it, as long as it's not right up against it, it'll be fine. So stuff like that, he's really helpful with.
Yeah. Is it scary putting something you put all this work into in just a pilot's hands?
Sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking just because you put so much work into it, but we have like a lot of faith in our pilot. He'll be able to fly it well. So.
And so crashes always happen at Aero, right?
This is true.
Do you like, you don't like when it crashes, obviously, but when you're done with the competition, people always push their planes to the limit. Is this, do you guys push it to the limit till it crashes?
Yeah. 2 years ago, the M14, we basically, like, we built up the payload. We started at, like, half, and then we did, like, three quarters, and then, like, we kept building up, and then we're like, all right, the wind's strong. Let's go all out. We put everything on, and then through the bank, it crashed. So it was worth it. It was fun. It flew a bunch of times. It was a lot of fun. So.
Good. And when it crashes, do you bring it back to fix it, or you just leave it?
First you have to look, make sure it's something we can fix. It's kind of like a game time decision, I guess. Yeah.
See how it is.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a favorite location?
So I've been to two. I've been to, 2 years ago, I went to Fort Worth. And then last year we were in Lakeland. I gotta say, I like Fort Worth a lot. The barbecue is really good, so that might have to be my favorite.
Yeah.
I love both places.
As long as you're flying a plane that you built, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And your planes are getting ready to be unveiled.
Yes.
What kind of work goes in before to get to this point?
Yeah. So I'll just walk you through the entire M-Fly design cycle.
Yeah.
So we have a year-round design cycle where beginning in April, we elect the new leads for the next year. Following that election period, obviously, we have finals and all of that. So the old leads get to relax a little bit from the year. New leads get to get acquainted with their fellow leads and their chief engineer and the team captain and the administrative team. Following that period, we have the transition period where we transition the new leads into the team. And from there, we started a tradition where we just start working immediately. Since SAE is primarily a three-year design cycle, most of the time we are lucky to have some of the similar rules going into next year so they can begin working a little bit on the planes. They can at least come up with a mock, and then if it doesn't end up panning out or there's some slight changes to the rules, then we can pivot as needed. And the autonomous class is usually somewhat predictable, so we can also start designing aircraft for that. Going into June and July is mostly training and designing that new aircraft. Designing a new aircraft over the summer while the leads have time is very critical because they can hone their skills and perfect the knowledge that they're going to use to eventually design the final aircraft. Coming into the school year, we usually have some trainings that we have the leads do. So to get access to this building, you need to complete basic training, basic safety trainings, and also operational trainings for the tool shop. Following that, we go through the entire design phase that semester, which includes two design reviews. A critical design review and a preliminary design review. And then coming into December and January, we have our manufacturing phase. So towards the end of December, we start manufacturing, hoping to complete it mid or early February. And then that gives us about a month to test fly, given the Michigan weather, so we can push things around, test fly for a month, go to competition in March.
Wow, so all year.
All year, pretty busy, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Flight Plans, the SAE Aero Design Podcast. The show notes for this episode and all others can be found at aerodesign.fireside.fm. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next episode.